It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Cade Stancer, registered nurse, and I'm here today with Christina Schweigert, licensed nutritionist. And welcome to the new year, everyone. Christina, welcome to the show. It's so exciting to be working with you.
I know.
All these years we've managed to not work together, and here we are together today.
I know. It's great. It's fun to be on the show with you, and we are very excited to be here, the first show of 2009. Still getting used to that it's 2009, and we really want this to be a year of health and vitality for you. So we really want to thank you for listening today. And we know we have many loyal listeners out there, and we definitely have a great show planned for you today.
Yes, we do, and I'm so excited, Christina. But not just for today. We have a great lineup for the whole month of January. As we know, this is a great time for New Year's resolutions, right? And
yes,
focus on weight and health has to be at the top of everyone's list. So, our focus for this month, the month of January, is about metabolism and what we can do to increase it.
Yes, and as most of you know, we are a company that specializes in therapeutic nutrition. And what that means is that we are not just going to tell you to count and cut calories and work out more.
Thank God.
Yes, I'm sure many of you...
I think I will listen to you, too.
I know. We don't need to hear that anymore. So we are going to look at the biochemistry of our metabolism, and don't get freaked out by the word biochemistry. We'll keep it simple. And just the underlying cause of why people really are having a hard time and unable to lose weight, and why we become overweight in the first place. So just what is this battle of the bulge all about, Wendy?
Oh, my gosh. We could talk for days,
right,
couldn't we? So what we really want to do is just look at that, and how do we fight it? But first of all, and I start every class with this, is I want you all to know, everybody that's listening out there,
mm-hmm,
is it's not your fault.
Right.
It's not your fault. Losing weight and increasing your metabolism is not about lack of willpower or lack of motivation or lack of self-discipline. It is truly about getting educated and finding out how our body really works and what foods that we are putting in our body that are decreasing our metabolism and increasing inflammation. So today, we want to focus on one myth. And since everybody on the top of their list probably has losing weight,
right?
we want to really, really look at that. And that myth is that eating low-calorie foods will help increase your metabolism and help you lose weight.
Yes, that is a big myth out there. And we see it all the time when people come in our office. So our topic today is not, and I repeat not, counting calories, but we are going to focus on how you can choose carbohydrates to support your metabolism. You know, we need to eat carbohydrates, but the kinds that we're choosing makes a big difference with our metabolism, which might kind of spin your head around a little bit. What does that really mean? And there is a difference between carbohydrates. And there's so much misunderstanding about our metabolism and the underlying cause of obesity and weight gain that we really need to address this topic for people. And I love what you said, Wendy, that it really is being educated and understanding. And I think too often we just kind of go with the flow of whatever we hear on TV or read in magazines and never really stop and think and look at it at a deeper level about what's really going on.
Yeah, exactly. We have so much of this misinformation.
Right.
And, you know, we've done such a disservice to people talking about calories.
Right.
We really have.
I agree.
Because we know that someone can have a calorie of high fructose corn syrup or sugar,
mm-hmm,
that's going to increase their inflammation and decrease,
right,
their metabolism. We can give them a lovely calorie,
mm-hmm,
of fat and protein.
Right.
That's going to increase your metabolism and decrease your inflammation. So
right,
this whole calorie conversation is really, really done a disservice,
right,
for all of us, especially those of us that have weight issues and have struggled all their life like I have. So that's why it's so beneficial working here. And Christina, you know, the other thing that we talked about is, you know, it's not your fault, because by the time people get to us, they're so resigned and depressed and, you know, beating themselves up because they have failed.
Yes.
Diet after diet after diet.
They've done it all, but just aren't strong enough to complete things. So it's like, okay, let's maybe finally try this, but and I think they come in not even really thinking that it's going to work.
And exactly, and each failure adds, I mean, when I came to see Dar, I had lost count. I think I did Waste Watchers 7 or 9 times. It was somewhere in there. And it was just so wonderful to sit down and look and to see that when we look at things therapeutically, you know, like we do where we work, it really isn't your fault. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And I've been able to stay on this plan. And I did every diet there was, started my first diet when I was 12, really smartly by eating absolutely nothing.
Right, exactly.
You know, and then I got to college, and oh, my gosh, what happened there? But so it's like I've struggled all my life. And for the first time in my life, the first time, and I've been doing this for 8 years now, staying on the program, and it's wonderful.
Right.
And it was about educating and finding out, you know, looking at the therapeutic value of foods and carbohydrates, which we know, you know, the biggest cause of obesity and weight gain are the type of carbohydrates that people are eating. So that's what we want to focus on today. Many of these low-calorie foods are full of sugar, high fructose corn syrup, and inflammation. Did you know that inflammation is a huge cause of slowing your metabolism and weight gain?
And I have seen so many commercials these past few days and months and really for many years for the great weight loss products out there, and there's new ones coming out every day. And one of them that has been showing up a lot over the last number of years is the Special K Challenge, and I think it's resurfacing again. And you are guaranteed to lose 6 pounds in 2 weeks if you follow this program. Which sounds pretty great, I think, for most people. They would agree, 6 pounds in 2 weeks, that gets people well on their way to goals. But let's just take a little closer look to see what's actually going on biochemically with our metabolism when we are eating those low-calorie carbohydrates, and a lot of them are from high-fructose corn syrup.
Exactly. And what goes on is a sudden and rapid spike in our blood sugars, which leads to inflammation and actually slowing down of our metabolism, to say nothing of the complete lack of nutrients in these so-called low-calorie diet foods. Another thing that is so popular these days, and they're popping up everywhere, as if 100 calories is like a magic number or something, right? Are these 100-calorie snacks.
Right. And people of all ages are eating them. I mean, I think they fill a lot of people's cupboards, and that's what the kids grab and parents grab. And these diet foods and diet plans have you eating low-calorie foods, but they are loaded with inflammation, and they have a lot of high-fructose corn syrup in them that are going to start to cause problems.
Well, wait, wait a minute, Christina. Those commercials, they're telling us that this is a perfect and natural sweetener and that it's good for us. Are you telling me it's not true?
I am, Wendy. And those, websites, I've gone on the website and looked, and it really, it's interesting how it makes people who really have been trying to, you know, raise awareness of high fructose corn syrup really makes us look stupid in those commercials. It's interesting. And it's what makes these conversations like we're having today so important.
Well, if we had $1 billion, maybe we could have our own commercial,
That's
do you think?
Right. That's right. And, you know, we start every class with looking at TB nutrition. And I always try and get people to think, you know, what is some of the newest things you've thought about? And, you know, I think most people would agree, but unfortunately we don't always live like this, is that TV is just not really a good place to get your nutritional information. Neither are a lot of those magazines and things out there. Companies are spending billions of dollars on advertising. It's astounding how much they spend to get their products out there and have you buy them. And really, these are foods that are highly processed and have very little nutrient value. And again, they're causing inflammation in your body and slowing down your metabolism.
Exactly. And I want to know, where are the ads for broccoli, spinach, green beans, and tomatoes? They're pretty much non-existent because there's not as much money to be made in these real delightful foods, these real carbohydrates that provide nutrients for our bodies.
Right. You know, a little bit ago, Wendy told you that it wasn't your fault, and I want to show you why. And we've got some research that came out in April of 2004 from the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and it really talked about how high fructose corn syrup is really making us fat. And before 1970, there really was no high fructose corn syrup in our foods. But since that time, high fructose corn syrup has increased significantly, and mostly in our soft drinks, juices, even in a lot of dairy products, if you take a look at some of those popular yogurts out there, and 100-calorie diet bars, applesauce, and all those granola bars that people grab for breakfast or in the afternoon.
Exactly. What the research actually shows us is that the increase in obesity directly correlates with the use and the increase of high fructose corn syrup. And this is coming from a lot of different places,
it
right,
is.
Christina?
Yeah.
I mean, they quoted several different studies.
Many seminars, pretty much all the seminars we go to, they've got pretty good research that supports that.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to look at this research, and we want to also look at what actually goes on in our bodies when we eat high fructose corn syrup. It is actually converted to fat more than any other sugar and is known to raise triglycerides significantly.
So, as just talking about triglycerides, that's something that gets done every time you get your cholesterol checked. So that is a very easy way for people to be monitoring how many carbohydrates they're eating, you know, or how their body is handling the carbohydrates they're eating, really. Because if your triglycerides is getting above 100, you're eating too many carbohydrates for your body, which means you're having inflammation. And, you know, what's happening when we consume this juice, soda, diet, 100-calorie meals filled with the high fructose corn syrup is that the sugar does not follow the normal digestive route that, you know, normal sugar does when you eat it, but it converts directly to those triglycerides, and it gets put directly into your adipose or fat tissue within 60 minutes of ingestion. So it doesn't take very long.
So when we used to laugh about, oh, just eat that piece of candy and it'll go directly to your hips.
Right.
That's pretty much what it's doing.
Yes. So that diet cereal bar or the diet yogurt, even though it only has 100 calories, what your body is doing with that 100 calories is it's putting it right there in those hips or in your fat cells, your stomach, places we really don't want it to go.
Exactly. So we are talking about the importance of eating good carbohydrates for a healthy metabolism. But have you thought about how much the amount of TV you are watching might be affecting your metabolism? A number of studies have been done on the link between watching TV and your health, but one researcher, Dr. Sigmund, found 15 negative effects that he believes can be blamed on watching TV. The number one negative effect is obesity, with a decreased metabolism at number four. Some of the other problems he found include heart trouble, decreased attention span, cancer, sleep difficulties, and diabetes. If you have questions for us today about carbohydrates or metabolism, please give us a call and join our conversation at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back.
All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Now put your hands up in the club, just broke up, I'm doing my own little thing.
We're grooving out in here, everybody. Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, here with Wendy Kate Stancer, a registered nurse. And we are talking about good carbohydrates for your metabolism. Would you like to jumpstart your metabolism after the holidays? I think a lot of people would. And at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, we have a healthy approach for lifelong weight control. And we have a great class called Jumpstart Your Metabolism that will really help you learn how eating real foods in balance can help you lose weight, eliminate cravings, and increase energy. And it's a great interactive class that explains how your food choices, blood sugar levels, and essential fatty acids really affect your energy and your ability to lose or maintain weight. So upcoming classes are this week. We've got one in White Bear Lake on Monday evening, January 5th, and one in Woodbury on Thursday evening, January 8th, which Wendy will be teaching both of those. And to register for either of these classes, you can just go ahead and call our White Bear Lake office, and they're open on Monday at 651-773-0000. You can always check out our website for a little bit more information at www.weightandwellness.com.
And this is one of my favorite classes, Jumpstart mm-hmm. Your Metabolism. I mean, this is how I started my journey with nutritional mm-hmm. weight and wellness years ago. Mm-hmm. So if you have questions on metabolism, Give us a call at 651-641-1071. So before we went on break, if you're just tuning in, we're actually talking about good carbohydrates to support our metabolism. And we're talking about one of the carbohydrates that does not support an increase in our metabolism,
right.
Actually causes inflammation, and that's high fructose corn syrup because it's actually metabolized differently.
Right.
Goes directly in within 60 minutes to triglycerides and our adipose tissue, which is our fat tissue.
Mm-hmm.
But the other problem with high fructose corn syrup is that it is lacking in enzymes, vitamins, and minerals, and actually takes these micronutrients away from our body when it is actually being metabolized. This causes more inflammation and, again, is slowing down our metabolism. So, Christina, should we take a call here?
Sounds good.
Okay, this is line 2. Deb?
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Did you have a question for us?
I do. This is Deb calling from Zimmerman. I have two questions. The first one is, regarding inflammation, what exactly is inflamed? Is it like arthritis, or are your arteries inflamed? What are you talking about there?
Okay, great. Well, so inflammation basically means that it's your body's response to something harmful. So it can show up many different ways. For instance, a cold, when we get a runny nose or a cough, our lungs are trying to, we're trying to get that virus out of our bodies. That's inflammation. If you get a sliver and you get pus around it and it gets red, that's inflammation. What we're talking about is, and then it goes all the way to, you know, to our very cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
And our cells get very unhappy when they're experiencing something that they don't like
right.
high fructose corn syrup.
Right. So it's like when you eat that sugar, and it's really yes to both of those things you asked. You know, is it the heart disease, the blood vessels? Yes. Things like sugar and bad fats will create inflammation there, which can cause high blood pressure, blockages in your arteries. Arthritis is definitely a form of inflammation, and sugar is a great trigger for arthritis. Diabetes is a form of inflammation. So like Wendy said, it's just when you have harmful things in your body, you're going to get inflammation. For different people, that inflammation shows up in different places. And I think something that's really good to understand is really inflammation is the underlying cause of pretty much every health problem, even things like Alzheimer's or depression. So we always encourage people as we're working with them is to let's remove things that are creating inflammation in your body. Does that,
okay, that,
make,
that
sense?
Makes sense. Thank you.
And you had another question, Deb?
I just have a really quick question. I have gained 40 pounds in about 6 months, and I went on Effexor for hot flashes 6 months ago, and I noticed it says increased appetite. Do you think that's really true, or do you think I'm just overeating? I don't know.
we see that a lot, Deb, with the many of the antidepressants cause weight gain and cause overeating. Whenever we do something unnatural for the body, yes, it's helping you with your depression, but it also causes other reactions to happen in your body. One of those is weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, not all antidepressants do that, but
right.
many of them do.
And I'm not even on it for depression. It's just for hot flashes, and I bet if I got my diet under control through you guys, I wouldn't have the hot flashes, so I think I'm going to be standing in line at your door very soon.
Okay, Deb. You know, that sounds great. We would love to help you.
Yes.
That would be fabulous. And thank you so much for the call.
Great.
That's
thank
that's
you.
Great.
Yeah. Something a lot of people.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We
Isn't
see that
amazing?
A lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we really do. And then again, the immediate thing we do, and if, you know, my guess is if you went back to a practitioner and said, I'm gaining weight,
mm-hmm.
what would they tell you? Go and get some of those 100 calorie bars, right?
Right? Go to the gym.
Join the Special K Challenge, right?
Right?
So I'm really glad we're here. Let's take another call. Jean, did you have a question for us?
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
I'm an avid listener of your radio show. I love it.
Great.
I read labels, and I just wonder, what's the difference between high fructose corn syrup and just corn syrup on labels? Should I also be staying away from corn syrup?
Yes, we would encourage to stay away from any form of corn syrup.
Okay.
So the high fructose is going to be a little higher in the fructose, and it's a little bit more processed, and it's going to store even faster. But the corn syrup is still a very processed form of sugar that is not, it's going to create inflammation in your body, like we've been talking about.
Okay. If I, you know, I do try to stay away from sugar, but sometimes I just need a little sweetness. Is there anything that you recommend, like honey or agave or...
Well, first of all, what we would recommend, Jean, is that if you're going to have some sugar, please balance it with some fat. First of all, no corn syrup. I absolutely agree
right.
with Christine
yeah.
on that, just because of the way it's metabolized.
Yeah.
The other sugar we can really help you out with when you eat it with some fat
mm-hmm.
and when you eat it with some protein, both of which are going to help increase your metabolism.
Okay.
So if you want to whip yourself up some whipped cream... some real whipped cream,
mm-hmm.
and put a few drops of maple syrup in it, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Another one that we like to use for a sweetener is we like to recommend stevia, which is actually an herb that doesn't really affect our blood sugar much.
Right.
Okay.
And I like that agave, too. It's supposed to be a little lower glycemic or affect blood sugar a little less than even the maple syrup, but sometimes, I mean, I'll use either maple syrup or agave.
Right, okay. And vegetable glycerin. We have
mm-hmm.
that at our office, and that's a sweetener that comes from coconuts. So, and then if you can just sweeten things naturally with adding a little bit of fruit,
mm-hmm.
What else do I do? I like to add some raisins, you know,
sure.
just a few raisins, or, you know, as natural as we can get things, the better.
Right.
All right, good. Thank you so much. You answered
You're
my
welcome.
Question.
Yeah, thank
Good.
You, Jean. I think we have time to take another call
All
here.
Right, great.
Is it Lana?
Yes.
Hi,
it's
Lana.
Hi, I love your show.
Oh, thanks.
I have an underactive thyroid.
Okay.
And so I'm on Synthroid and actually thinking about going to some bioidentical hormones for it. But would you suggest anything specifically I should be eating or staying away from for that?
Yeah, a real important thing with the thyroid, as far as just what you are eating, is keeping your blood sugar balanced. So going right along with what we're talking about is in really making sure you're choosing good carbohydrates, because your insulin levels, which is a response to your blood sugar, will definitely affect your thyroid function. So eating lots of good healthy fats and proteins with good carbs is going to be one way to really help. Plus, it's going to support your metabolism, which I know is often a struggle when you have hypothyroid.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and our, you know, our advice would be to eat only things that you can pronounce. And when
mm-hmm.
I say that, Lana, I'm remembering this girl, Melissa was her name. We had her on the show last December. She had a hypothyroid condition, and she'd been listening to our show for 18 months, and she just made one decision, and that was to not eat anything that she could not pronounce. We had her on the show because she'd lost 98.5 pounds by making one decision, which is to not eat anything she couldn't pronounce.
I'm really into organic and whole foods. Actually, last week I did that with my 9 and 11-year-old boys. We went through everything in the cupboards, and they read the ingredients.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
And they couldn't pronounce, we threw out.
Wow,
well,
great.
There you go.
Good for you.
You're on the right track. Now, one thing I would, because of your thyroid, make
mm-hmm.
sure that you cook your cruciferous vegetables.
Okay.
Like, don't eat broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage raw. Cook it a
mm-hmm.
little bit. So,
and watch out for a lot of soy, because
right,
the soy will
right,
bind iodine, which your body needs to make your thyroid hormones. So the soy products are often a negative when people have low thyroid. They can create more problems with your thyroid being low. So,
okay.
Which soybean oil is in a lot of things. So just another thing to check for on your labels.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, and
good
thank
question.
You for bringing your kids on board with
yeah.
you. That's fabulous.
Making it fun.
Because exactly. So thanks for listening to our show, Lana.
Is it time for a break? Or?
Oh, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Okay. According to a new study published in November in the Journal of Law and Economics, a ban on fast food advertisements in the United States could reduce the number of overweight children by as much as 18%. The study's authors found that a ban on fast food television advertising during children's programming would reduce the number of overweight children ages 3 to 11 by 18%. Wow. And would lower the number of overweight adolescents by 12 to 18%. Again, if you have questions today, call us at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, here with Wendy Kate Stancer, a registered nurse, and today we are talking about the importance of good carbohydrates for healthy metabolism. And we have another class that is coming up in a couple weeks that will really dive deeper into this topic. The class is called Managing the Blood Sugar Roller Coaster, and is being offered in White Bear Lake on Monday, January 19th, and Wendy is teaching that one as well. She's going to be a busy lady here. This class will teach you nutritional strategies that are based on cutting-edge research, and they are clinically proven. You will be surprised at how well you can eat to control your blood sugars. This applies to diabetics, pre-diabetics, or those of you who really do not want to become a diabetic and want to make sure you're keeping your blood sugars balanced. And you know, you'll leave the class knowing how to take control of your blood sugar. So to register again, you can call the White Bear office, and that number is 651-773-0000, or there's always information on our website, www.weightandwellness.com.
Fabulous. And yes. I love teaching that class,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's a real good one.
It's a great class because it makes such a significant impact on your health
it
and
does.
That inflammation that we're talking about. So we have lots of callers here, so we're going to jump right into talking to Shelley. Hi, Shelley. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks for calling.
I am actually piggybacking off of the woman who called about Effexor.
Yes.
I am also somebody that uses Effexor and has to use Effexor,
mm-hmm.
and I have experienced weight gain. And my question is, I don't feel like I've necessarily had an increased appetite, but does the medication itself cause you to gain weight?
Yes, unfortunately it can, and I'm not quite clear. I know I've read it a couple of times. I'm not quite clear the actual mechanism that works, but and so I absolutely believe you when you say you really haven't increased, your appetite hasn't increased.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think the one of the mechanisms is that it actually slows down your metabolism itself.
Now, is there some way that nutritional weight and wellness could work with that?
Well, yeah, absolutely we can. We can show you how to balance your nutrients so that we can maximize your metabolism and decrease inflammation. So we can help a great deal, even with its things that are going on with our nervous system or our brain or whatever you're taking the Effexor for. But if we can decrease that inflammation and we can increase our metabolism, that really helps us out a great deal. You know, maybe we would be able to even decrease your medications a little bit after you're feeling better.
Yeah.
So there's just so many things we can do. I mean, it's amazing when you look at the power of real food.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm somebody that doesn't eat sugar. I don't eat high fructose corn syrup.
Great.
And so I've stayed away from that. I kind of feel like I've eliminated a lot of things from my nutrition, and so
exactly, and then you know, when we sit down with people, and in our classes too, we teach people, we look really at the underlying cause, and even it sounds like you're eating really healthy, Shelley, but you also might be deplete in some intestinal. Some good intestinal bacteria, and maybe good quality protein, or maybe not, we'd have to see. But these are the things that manufacture your B vitamins and your neurotransmitters and things like that. So, there's great depth to what we do, isn't there, Christina?
There is, yep. There's a lot of little pieces that maybe just really need to be tweaked to have you just be at a more optimal level as far as your metabolism goes.
Okay.
And that's one thing that we can do, is to help you look at all that, Shelley, and put it all together.
Okay. And a good starting point would just be to come in and make an appointment or just take a class?
Well, I love our weight and wellness series.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would suggest that. I would suggest our food and mood class for you.
Okay.
That's where you learn all about that. So those would be great avenues for you to take, and then we'd also be happy to sit down with an individual consultation.
Right.
Okay.
Too.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling, Shelley, and Happy New Year.
You too.
Great question, huh, Christina?
Definitely.
Oops, I just dropped somebody. I'm sorry. Well, Whoever that was on the phone, please call back. I just, I don't know if I pushed the wrong button or what. Judy, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm pretty overwhelmed now hearing everything because it all pertains to me so much. I think I'd have to take every class because...
Well, fabulous.
I have issues with mood. I have issues with blood sugar. I'm gaining weight. So I'm going to start with a simpler question, though.
Okay. All right.
With yogurt, I thought yogurt was a health food, but I just looked at my low-carb light yogurt in the fridge, and the second ingredient is the high fructose corn syrup.
Right. Aha, what's the first ingredient? Because often it's the first ingredient.
Right.
Oh, cultured pasteurized grade A non-fat milk.
Okay. All right. And then high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, and I have hypoglycemia, so I really have been reading labels for a long time, but now I've been getting more and more confused these last few months as I'm trying to read for myself and for my two young boys.
Sure.
Because when you look at the yogurt for the kids, they're very high in sugar.
Yes.
So what I'm wondering is, do you give up on yogurt completely, or what's better, the sugar or the... I'm sure you're not going to say the high fructose corn syrup is okay, but
right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm confused. I thought it was health food, but maybe I need to just skip that whole section in the store.
Well, I think you need to maybe look for your yogurt in a different section. Or depends. Some grocery stores mix it up. Because, yes, yogurt can be a very great food, and there's naturally some sugar occurring, but it's when they add in all the flavorings and the sugars.
So yeah, like those Diego and all those fun yogurts.
Usually if they've got, cartoons on them, they're probably full of a bunch of stuff. We don't usually get those in my house.
And candy in them with little sprinkles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you want to look for yogurt that is the milk and the cultures. And if you can do plain, we really do encourage that. And that way you cut out all that added sugar. And I love to keep frozen berries in my freezer, and I just add those in with some nuts. And usually it tastes great. And for some people to get used to it, that's when maybe using the maple syrup a little bit or some agave. And there are some brands. I mean, even Old Home Plain is going to be a lot better than those Yoplait and Danone ones. Stonyfield Farms you can find in a lot of grocery stores. My favorite is Seven Stars, and some regular grocery stores carry it. Some co-ops carry it.
Seven Stars?
Yep. And go ahead and get you, and especially being hypoglycemic, you really need the whole milk one. And I think a real common problem that happens with people who have hypoglycemia is they know their blood sugar drops, so then they just focus on eating the carb to get their blood sugar back up. And what often is missing is they're not getting enough healthy fat in their diet.
I make sure to eat a lot of protein with my carbs.
But the fat...
And I know that helps.
Yep.
But,
the fat's going to help you even more.
Right. The fat's going to help you even more, Judy. So get the whole milk yogurt. I mean, yogurt is wonderful. It's got those wonderful bacteria. But what we've done is added a ton of sugar to it. So
So the whole milk is where the healthy fat is coming from.
Whole milk, plain yogurt.
Yep. I would still add maybe some nuts to it for you.
And the maple syrup, just that little bit, you don't think will affect the blood sugar?
Not as much as the high fructose corn syrup would.
Okay. And I'm going to go check out the classes now online. So.
Great.
Okay,
great.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Okay. Great, thank you.
Okay. Metabolism and weight gain are issues that not only affect adults, but are a growing concern for all of our children. Childhood obesity has more than doubled in the past 25 years. About 30% of children are now overweight, and childhood diabetes has increased tenfold in the past 20 years. Research indicates that there is an 80% chance that an overweight adolescent will be an obese adult. We need to be teaching our children the importance of making good food choices for their health, and a place you can start is teaching them the difference between good carbohydrates and processed carbohydrates. If you have questions on this topic today, please give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, here with Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, and we are discussing how to have a healthy metabolism by choosing good carbohydrates. You know, another way you can really make a step in implementing these principles into your everyday life is by taking our popular 6-week weight and wellness series, or take the 12-week Let's Do Lunch Weight and Wellness series. These classes are beginning the week of January 12th, and I know there's still room in them, and they're all over the Twin Cities, including Burnsville, Eden Prairie, Ham Lake, Maple Grove, St. Paul, downtown St. Paul, I believe we're doing a lunch one, Shoreview, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake. So again, for more information on dates, locations, please see our website, www.weightandwellness.com, or you can call our St. Paul office even today at 651-699-3438.
And I know we gave the White Bear Lake number out a couple
right.
of times before, but they're really not open today. So
right.
make sure you call them on Monday or, again, call our St. Paul office and they'll help you out.
Right.
651-699-3438. And we need to get to this caller. I'm going to be very careful about pushing this button, Janet, so we can get you on this time. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry I dropped you before.
That's okay. Thank you for your show. You get a lot of great information out.
Good.
I just wanted to be clear on something. When I listen to the show, I hear you talking about things to eat, like the fast and so forth. By the way, I love plain yogurt, and the Stonyfield plain whole milk yogurt is wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting a little confused in terms of alkalinity. I years ago I went on the body ecology diet.
Oh yes.
Okay. Is your plan is it basically that a similar idea or is it different in terms of alkalinity?
Right. We don't speak about alkalinity because when you do our program, your body is naturally balanced. So, Janet,
okay.
what we do a lot of vegetables, just like Donna Gates does, and it's really those vegetables, it's those good carbohydrates that we're talking about with all the phytonutrients and the vitamins and minerals that we need that help keep our body in the right pH, the right alkaline. So when you're eating processed foods and high fructose corn syrup, those are very acidic. They put our body in an acid state. When you put in the vegetables that we are recommending for people to eat today to increase your metabolism, the right amount of protein and the good quality fats, you are going to have a proper pH and your body is going to be balanced. So our philosophy is, Janet, is that you eat in balance, your body's in balance, and that just makes sense.
Okay. And so in terms of that, which of your classes is good for that overview and that basic eating plan?
Well, I would say our six-week weight and wellness series offers you all of the principles that we talk about. That would be the one that I would really recommend. If you want to just get started, I would just have you jump into our Jumpstart Your Metabolism class. That gives you a lot of great information to get started. That's just a one-night, two-hour class.
Okay.
And then that Balancing Your Blood Sugar class would be great, too, Janet. So.
And there wouldn't be any conflict. Right now, I was given a list. I saw a naturopath, and I got a list of his list of alkaline and acidic foods and so forth, and I'm trying to do the 80-20, you know, 80% alkaline, 20% acidic category, and I'm trying to follow that, and your plan wouldn't be in any conflict with that.
You know, I don't really think so, not when you look at the actual percentages. I'm pretty sure ours comes pretty close to that.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
Okay,
thank
Janet.
You for the good work.
Well, you too. You. Thanks for the call.
All right. We have to
take another call. Yes,
good.
We can. Diana, you had a question for us?
Yeah, hi. And I have to say, I've taken a lot of your, not a lot of your classes, but several through Community Ed in Burnsville, and
great.
I just love them. I always learn something new.
Fabulous.
I'm not always great about putting it into practice, but
it takes time.
I try. What I have is an underactive thyroid, and I've gained, you know, probably 50 pounds in the last 5 years, and it's hard for me to get rid of it. I am There's a lot of things that I have intolerances for food, so I struggle a little bit with what to do and what not to do.
Okay.
So
you want to answer that one, Christina?
Well, what probably would be optimal for you is probably to sit down with somebody one-on-one. Because when you've got more of those food intolerances, sometimes it takes a little bit more strategy to really make sure that we're not putting in foods that you're sensitive to, but giving you enough of the right kinds of foods to really help support your thyroid, support your metabolism. And again, like we've been talking about, really reduce inflammation, because the thyroid problems are going to be another form of inflammation. Especially if it's, I mean, some people can take the classes and do a great job and they don't need the one-on-one, but if you're finding you're still just really having a hard time putting it into your everyday life, that's when maybe sitting down one-on-one, we can, talk more specific strategies that are going to work just for you.
Right.
And then we can delve in and really look at the cause of your hypothyroidism, which I expect from what you're already talking about is like the Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Mm-hmm. Is there ever a possibility that you don't have to take the medication? Can you ever get your diet such that you just wouldn't have to take it anymore? Because what they do is they slide you into normal, and normal at my weight isn't going to be normal. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just slide you into normal. Optimum might be the higher end of normal for me, but
exactly.
To get anybody to try to do that,
I
want to take it.
Right, and the thing, Diana, is that though, we talked about calories being a disservice to people, so have these graphs of how people are supposed to weigh, because they're actually proving now and lots of studies are showing that people can be have a few extra pounds and be even much healthier than someone that's thin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's kind of done a disservice for us, too.
And Synthroid is one of those medications. I have seen some people get off of it. A lot of people can't always get all the way off of it, but can really reduce their dosage. So that's real individual and something that does take a long time, mm-hmm. I think, at least from what I see. But weight loss would definitely help. You'd be able to probably bring it down, and just eating foods that aren't triggering, if it is the more autoimmune form of thyroid problems, then you may be able to move in that direction.
Yeah, that would be good, because I'm on a low dosage and I have been for years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't even, it doesn't fluctuate that much.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you know how they tell my cholesterol gets all crazy.
Oh,
they
They
check my thyroid and they go, oh, you're a little low, and then they up it a little bit, but they never check it again until something shows up somewhere else.
Yeah, but I agree, Diana, with Christina. I think a one-to-one consultation would be the best thing for you. So we're getting the signal that it's time to take a break. Thanks, Diana, for calling. And then we have a little information here, although this study is just a little bit off topic. We just want to know you to know that another benefit of breastfeeding is that when they look at lungs of children 10 years and older who have been breastfed for at least 4 months, these lungs are much stronger than the lungs of those of children that have not been breastfed for that long. So I think this is a good example of the fact that every little bit helps. Even 4 months of breastfeeding gives your child benefit in a number of ways. So we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, and I'm Christina Swigert here with Wendy Kate Stancer today, and we just want to thank all of you for listening. And, if you didn't catch the whole show, or maybe you have someone you know who really needs to hear this information, remember, you can always go online and listen to a past show. And if you just go to our website, weightandwellness.com, click on the radio show link, and then on Listen to a Past Show, and this show will be up probably within the next few days without commercials, and there are lots and lots of shows on there that you can listen to and learn great information.
Yeah, it's fabulous. A lot of people download them on their iPods.
Yep, definitely.
So let's get rid of those low-calorie diet foods and go to the produce section and get some of the lovely vegetables that actually have all of those enzymes, vitamins, and minerals that help us decrease inflammation and increase our metabolism. Broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, green beans, and wonderful green leafy vegetables.
And when you're eating these kinds of carbohydrates, you're getting fiber, antioxidants, micronutrients, genonutrients, new terms there, and increase our metabolism. And really, like we've talked about, it really decreases your inflammation. And these phytonutrients are going to support your metabolism and enhance your ability to lose weight. And as a wonderful side effect, you feel better, you get healthy, you have more energy. So you're going to want to work out and naturally become more active again, which will help you to really increase your metabolism.
And it's just amazing how that natural process happens. You know, Christina, we have found that many clients, Once they know the science, the biochemistry of weight loss and metabolism, it's much easier for them to stay on a balanced eating plan and lose weight.
Right. So it's not just about having a lack of willpower, the lack of motivation, lack of self-discipline. It is actually a lack of education and understanding. And that's really our goal on our shows, is to help you understand how your body works and what your body needs to have a healthy metabolism.
Fabulous. So jump into those classes, because this show goes way too fast.
It does.
So again, let's stop eating those low-calorie diet foods. Replace it with green, healthy, leafy vegetables. I actually had a 6.5-year-old client that I sat down with. He sat in my office for 2 hours.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Wrote down all of his colors. And when he left my office, he was on the way to the grocery store to pick out colors.
That's
for
great.
Him to eat. He was going to get some green stuff and some yellow stuff and some red stuff.
What a great way to help kids get involved with eating healthy. So, and you know, if you make it fun for kids, they're going to definitely be more willing to jump on board.
And we want it to be fun for you
too.
So go and get some of those good colors. Make it fun.
Right.
Try something new. You know, and Christina, you love working with kids. As you know, like with kids, it takes them, what, 15 times to try something?
And it might be that way for an adult, too.
So, doesn't matter what age, get started.
Right.
Start today.
So, Happy New Year, and please tune in the rest of January as we continue our conversation on metabolism. Thank you again for listening, and remember, carbohydrates can either be your problem or they can be your solution. Have
Happy
a great
New Year.
Day.